Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
America this Sunday night. Hi! We have a fun show planned. We'll hook up with our friend Drex, which we do on Sunday nights. He does the late shift. The radio superstar Drex, as I find out, he's doing so good up there. We're also going to talk to Johnny Rabbit with the presentation he's got coming to the Missouri History Museum just in a couple days, Tuesday morning. We'll talk to him about that. And later this hour, it was one of those days in history that you're reminded of, which was the death of John Lennon. And what a surprise. I know this date, and I've talked about this many times, but it always comes to a surprise. It always surprises me, I should say, that he was only 40 years old when he was assassinated. That is something else. So young. I wanted to start the show by talking about a petition that's going around, and it has to do with former NFL player Michael Vick. So on November 26th, the NFL announced the Pro Football Hall of Famers that will be serving as what they call the mentors for players at the 2020 Pro Bowl. And here's the mentors. Terrell Davis, okay, Daryl Green, Bruce Smith, and Michael Vick. So there's a woman by the name of Joanna Lind who started a petition online and is calling the league to get rid of Michael Vick in that role. There's no way you should be looking at him as a mentor in this state. Well, why? Because remember, he was the head of this giant dogfighting ring. He went to jail for it. He went to jail for, what, how many, 18 months? Yeah, that's a long time. A year and a half. Federal prison. After found guilty of running a cruel and inhumane dogfighting ring and lying about it. So online right now, I wanted to go to the change.org petition. And here's what she says on there. When is the NFL going to take any responsibility for the behavior of its current and former players? To honor a man who had zero regard for animals is unacceptable, and I would like you to help make sure he is not honored at the 2020 NFL Pro Bowl. Now, keep in mind, Michael Vick, after he got out of prison, he was given another chance, and he played for, you know, a few different years. He played for the Eagles, the Jets, and the Steelers after returning to the NFL, and he retired in 2017. He had a couple of really good years there afterwards. So he went to federal prison in 2007, came out a year and a half later, missed a couple of years, but still was able to play in the NFL. Now, a lot of people were able to forgive him for that. They said he paid his debt, he made a mistake, he has done certain things in order to try to make things better. Okay. That's why he got a second chance in the NFL. Is there a reason why you would put him up on the same pedestal as some of these other NFL legends? Or isn't it enough that you just allowed him to come back and play again and you allowed to say, okay, he paid his debt to society. He did his time in jail. He was allowed to do this and do that. Just move on now already. Well, normally when you think of someone that receives this sort of honor, the honor of them being honorary captain, they're going to be a mentor for these players and do all of these different things, you would normally think that there's a certain elevated level that not only on the field but off the field they were able to present for themselves. It wasn't just the amount of jerseys they sold over the course of their career. It has to do a little bit more than that, because these are the type of people that are representing you and what your league means. These are the people you're directly picking and deciding. It's not like the guy made a cut at a roster and he was given a chance and he was able to play and do all of these things because the team needed him. It's more than that. It's something that says this person represents who we are all about. And maybe that's the problem. So many people are turned off to the NFL because they find that the people that they continue to put up on a pedestal, the people that they tried to propel as the faces of the league, have some pretty dark pasts to them. And in some cases, have some pretty dark futures to them, too, because they're continuing to do these things over and over again. Like, you find, how many times do you find NFL players that have issues with domestic violence or drugs or alcohol or drunk driving and all of these other things? You know, there was even players that would kill. I mean, if I remember correctly, Dante Stallworth literally killed someone and he was right back in the league. You have other people that were accused of murder. It's unbelievable. This is why the league gets a bad rep. Well, that and among other things. But look at it. Why would you say, Michael Vick, why don't you to come back and represent us? If you're the league, if you're the NFL, I don't get it myself. If you go to change.org, so far, 403,000 people have signed this petition. 403,000. 403,000. Let me ask you about it. Move on, let them do it, let the league do whatever they want, or is this a bad call by the NFL? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There are so many other people in the NFL you can pick that would better represent what would be a mentor. Now, he could be a motivational speaker and tell you what not to do. Like, he can be one of those Matt Foley types that they had in SNL. You know, I'm living in a van down by the river and keep messing with your belt. No, la-dee-da. You can be one of those things, an example of what not to be. Or maybe you look at him as an example of what to be. You know, get a second chance, take advantage of it. Depends on how you look at it, I guess. But what do you think? Should the NFL remove him as an honorary Pro Bowl captain? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Oh, it's going to be a slow night. It's going to be one of those nights. All right, fine. I think we could deal with it. I got a lot that I can get to on the show tonight. Kevin Glean did a whole nother story on antique shops. And over the weekend, I went to St. Charles, almost exactly where he was. I do this routine, and it's funny because St. Charles has this free trolley that goes around. It's on wheels. It's like a bus trolley. And they take you around to, you know, like downtown Main Street in St. Charles, and it goes up to, you know, the convention center and the Bass Pro Shop and the casino and some of its stops or whatever. And my son loves going on it. It's just like this little free thing we can do. And I let my kid pick what we do generally when we have daddy day, like, you know, when we just kind of hang out, just me and him. It's something we don't do as a family. It's just, you know, get to spend some bonding time with him. And I try to do that once a week. And I let him pick. And of all the places, he likes to do that over and over. We do the same things. Hop on the trolley, get hot chocolate, and we go to that Picasso's coffee shop. And we'll play Uno inside of the coffee shop. Yeah, he loves playing Uno. And he's pretty good at it, except today I beat him like 5 times in a row and he was pretty frustrated. He kept saying, no, we're not stopping. We're playing again. He wanted to end on a win. He wouldn't stop. So we do other things. We go down and we get like some cheese bread or whatever. And we did some shopping for mom, let him pick out his Christmas gift to mom and stuff like that. So we have a good time with it. That trolley is actually operational and it works really well. Unlike our trolley here at the Del Mar Loop, the one that's going to be shutting down at the end of the year, and I had so many questions about this trolley and so many problems that arose with it, and I was talking to Tom Sullivan over the weekend, and I don't know if all of this is, I'm still trying to learn exactly what's going to happen, but they got that transportation district deal where they got that special tax among all the different restaurants and places that are right on the Del Mar Loop. While this trolley goes away, the tax doesn't just automatically dissolve. It's going to continue to collect funds. And this fund, as far as we know, I think this is how it's going to work. As far as we know, it's just going to keep taking money. And then basically all these people that are owed money are probably, you know, basically trying to act as creditors. And we'll probably put in, hey, you owe me money. And that tax is just going to be helping pay off all the people the trolley still owes. And if that's the case, isn't that great? Just one more tax in St. Louis that's going to go for something that's not benefiting anyone. It's going to benefit, you know, the creditors that invested in something that was a bad idea to begin with. And you know what? It's kind of sad all the way around. I did a commentary on it this week, which you'll be able to hear hopefully on Tuesday morning. I don't know. Sometimes I get the impression, I don't know if they play still on Tuesday morning, but I still record them nonetheless. Maybe I should just post them up straight online just in case. But either way, you know what else I found this weekend? We had a date night, my wife and I. We went to go see No Safe Spaces, which is a documentary that I've been waiting for, which seems like about 2 or 3 years. They announced it some time ago. And when I heard they were coming out with it, I got super excited. And I kept checking and waiting and checking and waiting and checking and waiting. They did like a crowdsource. And eventually, it was released at the end of October. And just recently, they started to put it in some of the different movie screenings, the film theaters here in St. Louis area. We had to drive out to St. Peter's. It was one of the only places showing it. And it was just the right time. We had a certain window of opportunity. It was a date night for us. Our son was somewhere else being watched. We stopped and I said, honey, will you let me go see this documentary? That would be wonderful. And I was a hard sell trying to get my wife to go see a documentary in the theater with me. She's thinking, we only get date nights a couple times a year. And you're trying to convince me to go see a documentary on the First Amendment. Okay. It was a tough sell. And I may have put all my cards in, and I have no more cards left to play in the future. So whatever she wants to do, I have almost no leverage to veto that at any point. So there we go. I said it's going to be worth it. But before we stopped there, I had to go get some chicken wings, and that was the dinner I picked. You know, I got to pick dinner too. I feel like I'm just getting old all the way around. There's a few things that are happening to me in my life. Number one, if I eat even a mild chicken wing, it tears my stomach up. That's not a good sign. Not a good sign at all. All I did was get the regular, you know, the house wing. We went to, I think, Culpeppers in St. Charles. They have some really good wings there. But I just got the, you know, the regular sauce, you know, whatever their house sauce is. And you know what ended up happening? Ooh, boy. It was almost instant reaction. What do they say? What is equal reaction? I knew this would be happening. I didn't realize how fast it would happen. By the time we got to the theater, I thought, eh, boy, this is already ripping through me. When I was younger, I used to have no problem with these sort of things. I didn't like hot or spicy foods. I normally would just be okay with them. Like, I would eat them, and it wouldn't really faze me, but I wouldn't enjoy it just for the sake of it being hot. But here we are. It only takes a matter of a couple of hours, and I feel like my insides are a straight line pipe. You know how a lot of people, when they have their intestines, they kind of like, you know, it curls forever. And if you were to stretch them out, it would go from like here to Albuquerque. But, you know, that's like what a normal person's intestines like. I feel like I have a straight pipe. Like those cars that they take in and they take the catalytic converter out, it's just like a straight pipe. I feel like that's what I got on the inside, straight pipe. So I had some issues with that. And I realized I'm getting old because I'm starting to walk the dog. We adopted this little puppy dog, well, 2 years old. Lots of energy. I try to go on a walk daily with the dog. I'm out there every morning. I get the first walk of the day. And it's normally, you know, earlier, not too early in the morning. Obviously, I'm waking up, you know, I work late, so I sleep in a little bit. But, you know, I wake up and I take a walk with the dog, and the dog really likes it. But this is what I realized. Even a 20-minute walk anymore, my legs are hurting. My whole body's, like, aching from the waist down just from going up and down, like, the hills and the sidewalks. Why is everything so hilly in St. Louis? So just doing that, I'm thinking, man, I used to run for miles a day. I used to play soccer and sports. I used to do pickup games. I used to play street hockey. I used to do all these things. Never once in my life did I ever think that in my, you know, mid-30s, by the time this would roll around, I would go out and I'd walk with the dog would pretty much ruin me for the day. What happened? Maybe it's just I'm out of shape. Maybe it's I got a long way to go. Maybe there's more to it, but one day maybe I'll be able to figure it out. Yeah, I'm just kind of ranting right now. I thought some people would call in on the Michael Vick thing. You know, Kevin Kleen did a great whole nother story about St. Charles. I was just there, and I think that's the reason I started that rant, to talk about downtown St. Charles. But he did a great piece, and when we were down there, I was trying to keep an eye out for this place, and I didn't see it. But here's Kevin Kleen.
I was walking along the sidewalks of St. Charles Main Street, the red cobblestone shopping district, and I was thinking back as to how I was arrested with some friends years ago in high school. We'd had a keg party at a house that my friend was supposed to be watching for some neighbors out of town. The police rounded us up, and as my dad was driving me home from the police station, he said, as part of your punishment, I'm going to take you antiquing with me tomorrow in St. Charles. With that in mind, I wandered into an antique shop in St. Charles to remember my dad.
Would you like to take it and plug it in?
I sure would.
All right, so let's take it.
It's called Centuries Past Antiques at the corner of Jefferson and Main. You have to get in through the rear in sort of a basement area. It was really cluttered like the old days. The owner was showing a record player, a little tabletop plug-in record player to a man, and they got down on the floor and plugged it in.
There we go.
We could spray in there.
Oh, my God. Where's find the volume?
The man told me that he had wandered in, but on this occasion, he wasn't looking for a record player.
Well, I'd never gone in here until today. Yeah. And I was trying to find bowling shoes, old bowling shoes.
What kind of bowling game do you have?
Well, I average around 150.
The owner told me that she wasn't looking to get into the antique business either. She wandered into it because her father had owned the shop.
You were saying when you were a little girl, your dad would take you to antique shows and you hated it. Did you ever think you'd be in this business?
Never in a million years.
But then in high school, she got interested in history and all things from the past. And one day at a garage sale,
I bought a World War II uniform. It was like $5 at the yard sale. And my mother said, oh, my God, do you know how much that's worth? And I said, no. And she said, I bet I can get you $100 for it at the show this weekend. And I said, oh, do it. And she did.
And so she had wandered into the business just as I had wandered into her shop to remember my dad. And the man looking for the record player had wandered in looking for bowling shoes. As for that man looking at the record player,
I'll have to go to the bank, though.
Okay.
Tell me what the price is, and I'll get there.
We'll get $65 on it.
$65, and he said he was going to go to the bank, but I couldn't stick around to see if he actually came back and bought it. In the antique business, people wander in and out all the time for all sorts of reasons.
You'd like to know the total, right?
With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Mm-hmm. Love that. I love antique shops. It's fun to go and look at those things. There's some really good ones around here. Consignment stores, secondhand places. I'm a big fan of that. All right, well, I guess I could play Joe Biden clips over and over and over again. I did that last week when things got a little bit slow. And it seems that was a motivator to get people to call in, mostly because they wanted to stop the Joe Biden voice. There's a little bit of an update of that viral clip that's been going around of Joe Biden talking about going to the public pool. Maybe we can do that. There's a couple of stories, too, school stories. A Missouri mom defending her son, beating up the bully. Good for this mom. So many different things these kids are confronted with. There's so many things I'm worried that my son will be confronted with by the time he goes to school. I just don't know what the world's going to look like. And after watching the documentary No Safe Spaces over the weekend, it's tough to tell if it's going to look bleak or not. Maybe he'll be someone that'll get in trouble for his viewpoints, and I'll be very proud of him for standing up for what he believes in. Maybe it'll be one of those instances. I don't know. And on this date, the death of John Lennon, it was December 8th, 1980. We're going to talk a little bit about that coming up, too, on Overnight America, KMOX. Got a couple school stories for you, and they made me angry. Well, at least one did. Oh, I'd be so upset about this. Do I want to read that one first? No, let me read the good one first and then the bad one second. So the first one happened here in Missouri, which is actually pretty cool. Allison Davis posted a selfie of her picture of her son, Drew. He was suspended from school for, quote, beating up a kid. Suspended for school. Oh, man, that sounds pretty bad, right? Beat up a kid, get in trouble. I think he was suspended for 5 days. Well, there's a viral post that goes along with it. Let me read you the viral post. So he got 5 days of OSS, which I'm assuming is off-site suspension for beating up a kid. It says, I know as a parent I'm supposed to be upset with him resorting to violence, but I'm not even a little. And I got to tell you, I am with this mom and good for her. This is the way you used to handle these deals. When you were growing up or when your parents were growing up, that there was some sort of dispute and you were getting bullied and someone came at you, It was on. You defended yourself. Well, you should have defended yourself. Then your dad would teach you how to defend yourself. You always had those moments. This is what the kid Drew decided to do. He said, for years, the school has failed. When he was a kid, constantly threatened to get beat up, along with several of his other friends, the school did nothing. This is what the mom wrote on Facebook. When the kid followed Drew down the hall, threatening him to make fun of him, it was all captured on video. The school did nothing. When the other kids told teachers and administrators that the kid was threatening Drew, the school did nothing. When the kid took to social media, voicemails, and threatening texts, the school did nothing. When the kid threatened Drew over and over in every class they ever had, the school did nothing. Not once did the school ever punish the kid that was threatened and bullied Drew over and over. In middle school, Drew was afraid to walk down the halls because of swarms of kids and his minions would make fun and threaten Drew. He quit talking to the adults because they never disciplined the bully. He said, I sent the school a lengthy email at the beginning of the year begging them to do something, and they refused. Drew had four classes with the kid. It would not leave him alone. The solution and response was to have him sign a no-contact contract. So their solution was, I want you to pinky promise that you're not going to touch each other, as in sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So go ahead with all the names. If there's anything I know about modern schools anymore, the names and the name-calling is very serious when you add into social media and the things that they do to harass kids on there. The cyberbullying is a big aspect that really hurts the morale of kids, and it's pretty terrible. So if you see your kid being threatened over and over and over again, and you see this happening and the school's doing nothing, yeah, you're a little upset about this, and there's only so much you can do to coach your kid. But part of it has to do with preparing them for what the real world will throw at them. And even at that young age, you need to start preparing them. What happens if this person goes from using their mouth to their fists? That's exactly what happened. This is what she writes. When the kid threatened Drew while on the bus and then moved on to making fun of his dad and then threatening his 11-year-old brother, Drew decided that he would quit relying on the school and the adults who are supposed to protect him, and he would be the one to do something. Three punches and the bully screamed like a baby. His minion friend shut up, and this morning the bully won't even look at him. Problem solved. Good for this kid and good for this mom to not have to go on social media and say, oh, we don't resort to violence. We turn the other cheek and we do this and you do that. When you got some dude or some bully or whatever that's constantly coming at you and they're about to fight you and they're threatening your little brother, yeah, you know what? He did something about it. You know what's going to stop? Hopefully that bully's actions. You know, a lot of times that's what it takes. You got to stand up to the bullies. Sometimes that's all it takes. When they realize that, wait a minute, this person's not going to take it anymore. Good for this kid, you know, and good for this mom for going on social media and saying, yeah, he might be suspended for 5 days. But you know what? 5 days is a small price to pay to cut out this nonsense that the school should have taken care of a long time ago. Stop ignoring this garbage. You know, good for her. And you know what? You know how many other people agree? Everyone. The entire internet agrees with her. No one's saying that she should be out there and she should be ashamed for what her son did. Nope, 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 nope. We're talking 235,000 likes, 138,000 shares on Facebook. Last time it was checked a couple days ago, and I'm sure there's a lot more since then. That was right here in Missouri. Good for that family. Let me go to this other school story that made me go crazy. And this is why I'm always concerned. What's going to happen when I send my kid to school and he's out of my hands? And there's only so much you can do to prepare second graders. They're very young. What are second graders? 7 and 8 years old? 5, 6, yeah, 7 and 8. 7 and 8. Alex, how old is your kid? One more time. 2 years old. Yes, yeah, so you got some time too. My kid's 5, so he's got a little bit of time. And he's got the late birthday, so he'll be 8 years old when he's in second grade. And, you know, I know there's a lot you can do to prepare an 8-year old for certain situations, you know, stranger danger type of situations. There's a school in Brooklyn. They have a swimming program for second graders, a swimming program. And they're in a predominantly lower income area, which means that a lot of times parents don't have the ability to pay for swim lessons or access to a pool. And this is a good thing in general, except parents at Sunset Park School are aghast because this principal is allowing a little, let me just tell you what's happening here. You tell me if this would raise any red flags with you if you're a parent. So they take the kids to the Manhattan Fitness Center. They put the kids into a locker room inside of the club that's not blocked off just for the school. It's open to everyone. So when the kids go in the locker room, they have all kinds of adults that are not their parents changing, okay? So they're saying there's nude men all over the place. There's teachers that are watching these second graders change into their swim shorts, so the kids are getting naked in front of each other. And on top of that, there's definitely not enough supervision. What happens if there's a creepo that's in the locker room watching these kids change? Your kids. Tell me this wouldn't raise a red flag or whatnot. The principal's name is Eugene Tang, E-U-J-I-N-T-A-N-G, once made headlines for canceling Christmas at school. Actually changed her name after there was other reports out there, very negative reports of things she was doing at school, including she eliminated Thanksgiving because she didn't think Thanksgiving was politically correct. She eliminated the Pledge of Allegiance at her school, and they decided to scrap Christmas because of, well, you know, religious implications. So the weekend, let's see, weekly lessons were at this one place, and parents are just going crazy, and they're like, you got to be kidding me. So you're saying that these teachers are watching my kid change? So teachers are supervising my second-year-old getting naked in front of other grown adults? No. So the principal said, oh, no. If your kid wants a private changing area, they can have it. Well, then the parents found out that this private changing area is also inside of the locker room where they have to wait in line next to a bunch of grown men changing. So you got these second graders mixed in with a bunch of nude men. Can you see why that would be a problem? You got to be kidding. There's got to be some common sense here. There literally has to be a little bit of common sense here. Or is it that some people just don't have any? Unbelievable. This would make me go crazy. How does this principal still have a job, by the way? Coming up next, I want to talk some John Lennon, and I have some audio that you may or may not have heard in the past. It's a pretty remarkable little moment in history, which I'm going to play for you coming up. Here's the phone number here, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. It really is hard to believe that John Lennon was only 40 years old when he was shot and killed. Wow. Outside of his New York apartment 39 years ago. Ah, wow, 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 wow. You know, there was a couple of things, and people post the pictures and the songs, and I think we'll end the hour with a John Lennon song, because why not? What did I do? And over the past week, when my family traveled to Thanksgiving, we were in the car, and we have satellite radio in the car, but I don't subscribe to it. You're not going to find me paying money for it. It's funny, because you can listen to it for a couple of days, and you think to yourself, it's the same songs over and over, and it's like nothing that special. Like, to me, radio is so much better. Now, there's some talk shows and things that people love. I mean, Howard Stern's on there. People go nuts for Howard Stern, but they don't give you that in the free preview, and I wouldn't listen to Howard Stern on my own. Just too vulgar for me, so it's not really my thing. But nonetheless, I decide to flip through, and you got 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours in the car. You got some time. And you decide to flip through and see what's there and if there's anything that you like listening to. And there's a Beatles channel, and they had Paul Reiser doing some sort of Beatles countdown. It was pretty fun to listen to that, mostly because Paul Reiser was, surprisingly, is a very good storyteller. Was not expecting that from him. So I was listening to some Beatles songs, and I'm like, oh, I remember this one, and I haven't heard that one in a long time, and it was kind of interesting. So I got a lot of, like, Beatles trivia and feelings while in the car. Well, no one else was paying attention. My wife's reading a book. My kid's got the earphones in watching Sesame Street or Paw Patrol or whatever that was on the DVDs he was watching. So, you know, I get that. So I had a little bit of time to myself. And when you hear these stories and you see this date pop up in history on December 8th, 1980, 39 years ago, John Lennon was shot and killed outside of his home. And I look at the timeline, and it's amazing how it all plays out. At 5 o'clock, John Lennon and Yoko Ono arrive at the record plant where they begin recording with Jack Douglas on one of their new songs. Lennon plays a guitar piece on the track, his last musical recording before he exits the studio. By about 10:50, they leave the studio and head back to their house. And after leaving the limo, Lennon makes eye contact with an awkward young man he met earlier, Chapman. I think you know what happens next. He signs the autograph, the album. He hands him the autograph. Seconds later, he pulls out a .38, fires 5 shots, and kills Lennon. Lennon somehow manages to continue walking, collapsing right at the vestibule. He was rushed to the hospital. This is 10:50 Eastern time. You know this is New York, so 9:50 our time. By 11:15, emergency room doctors were frantic, and they tried to save him. They couldn't. They go and tell Yoko Ono that they did everything they could. He was officially pronounced dead. She was hysterical for several minutes, refusing to believe what just happened. It wasn't that long after that the news started to break out. People in the hospital just see Yoko Ono and people crying and yelling and screaming. And you hear the story about how the news broke. Someone tips off the newsrooms and they didn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. They said, not a chance. You know who broke the news was Monday Night Football and Howard Cosell. Was it Sunday? I think it was Monday Night Football. Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford were doing the calls there. And they didn't know what they were going to do. Now, Outside the Lines on the 30th anniversary of John Lennon's death did a special about what happened in that moment. Do you break into the football game? It was really close. I think it was tied at the time. What do you do? Part of this Outside the Lines is they released the audio of what was being said during the commercial break when they were deciding if they were going to announce John Lennon's death or not. And to me, that is some remarkable, remarkable history that was preserved there. And I want to play it for you. This is from ESPN.
As the game went to commercial break with 40 seconds left, Cosell was uncertain what to do. He told Gifford off the air what he knew, that John Lennon was dead. In the booth, before coming back live, they had less than a minute to decide what to do.
He was shot outside his apartment.
That news flash, can you?
Absolutely, I can see it.
You can?
You betcha. We've got to. If we know it, we've got to do it.
All right.
I don't hang on. It's a tragic moment.
All right.
This is going to shake up the whole world.
All right. I will get it in. Let Gift call this play, and then I'll get it in.
It was just a situation where you didn't quite know what to do with it. And meanwhile, we decided we would go ahead and go with it.
Timeout is called. 3 seconds remaining. John Smith is on the line. And I don't care what's on the line, Howard. You have got to say what we know in the booth.
Yes, we have to say it. Remember, this is just a football game. No matter who wins or loses. An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous perhaps of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival. To go back to the game after that news flash, which in duty found we had to take.
I thought he handled it extraordinarily well. Honestly, I was still concerned that maybe we had done the wrong thing.
Wow. As it turned, you know, and that was from Outside the Lines. They did that special on the 30th anniversary, and that would have been, 2010. So it's coming up on the 40th anniversary. John Lennon, only 40 years old when he was killed. And there were a lot of Beatles fans, of course. You go back to 1980, it's not that far removed. You know, a little, but not that far removed after the band broke up. And certainly a lot of people still followed John Lennon. Howard Cosell did an excellent, excellent, excellent job. I mean, trying to set that up and setting the scene and what their duties are as broadcasters. Do we do it? Do we not do it? Do we report it? Do we not report it? And he had to say that to everyone watching football, knowing that some people may not understand, why would you talk anything but football here? And I think into many respects, some people may have wondered that. I think if I remember correctly, there was a reporter at the hospital. It just so happened by accident, a reporter was in the hospital for something and was able to firsthand knowledge share that with ABC News. All right, so in honor of John Lennon, I felt like, you know what, let's play a John Lennon song tonight, and let's end the hour on a John Lennon song. This one was Watching the Wheels, and I think it's been used in a lot of different media and movies and things like that, but, you know, this just seemed about right. Why not? It's a Sunday night. It's Overnight America.
You can say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm strange, surely you're not happy now. You no longer play the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.